Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the pimped out van of Jolly Roger's studio.
Damn, Skippy.
This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online worldwide or on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Roger's studio where we go around the table to tell you what we thought of it, that and our top three list, which is always, always inspired by the movie in question.
Every week.
Every single week.
Rightly so.
Yeah. Yep. Sometimes four times a month.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Let's talk about what the movie is, though. That week, this movie is, and maybe you've heard of it, the 2010 Tale of Teenage Wasteland, Submarine. Written and directed by Richard Ayoade.
Ayoade.
You know who he is?
Ayoade.
Yeah, he's the guy that made Submarine.
Well, he's also the actor that was in the, you've seen him. He's been in a few different movies.
IT Crowd.
The IT Crowd. He was in that new Ben Stiller movie where it was with The Watch.
Is he the white guy? Or
the
black guy.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
The Watch, the Ben Stiller movie that nobody saw.
That's right.
Oh, that guy.
I watched
that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, this movie's based on the book by Joe Dunthorne. Stars Craig Roberts, Patty Considine, Sally Hawkins, Yasmin Page, and Noah Taylor,
All right.
Who's been in a few different movies, and our top three list. Let's just get that out of the way.
All right.
I noticed recently on some episodes we forget to tell you this up front. It's like some people are going, you said a top three list. I mean, what?
Right.
Yeah. No, we're talking about top three dream sequences in film.
Sure.
Daydreams, we don't care. Night dreams. Other kinds of dreams.
I don't know.
Let's just stick with dream sequences.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sure.
Cool. Hopes and dreams.
Inspired by the Richard Ayoade directed Submarine. But if you've seen this film, keep listening. See if you agree or disagree with our take on it. Or if not, you keep listening to see if it's something you may want to cue up yourself. Let's get some introductions out of the way, guys.
All right.
Obviously, I'm Michael, your host, along with, as always, to my left. And I'm talking about James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, you had a pretty good week?
Not bad. How about you?
What, you asking me how my week's been?
I am. How was your week, sir?
I had a pretty good week. You want to know why? You want to know why?
I do.
Well, you know, first of all, no one singed my leg hair with a match.
That was romantic.
It was.
Yeah, Max was.
You poor guy.
Max upped his game. Max upped his game. He's always underneath the table singeing my leg hairs with a match.
What?
Not this week, though. And do you know in that one time this week, Savage, was my mother seduced in the back of a van?
Or not once.
Not to mention what she did in the back of that van.
Yeah, and it wasn't much. I mean,
not much.
It's no big thing. It's no big thing.
It's no big thing.
If my mom did that in the back of a van.
That's like third date material on my watch.
I'll tell you what. I had a great week because no one ever peed on my VHS motivational cassettes.
That's good. No human.
No. That's
because you didn't invite me over.
But thanks for asking, Sam.
You're welcome.
Awfully nice.
And you also didn't lose your virginity.
Again. No, I did not. Every time's the first time for me, buddy. And you know what? It always feels like the first time when I'm talking to the man to your left, Savage. That's James. I'm sorry. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
I'm talking about Matthew St. Hoodie. Sorry. Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hey. Hi.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Doing good. My relationship with color is doing... It's taking it to another level.
Oh, the whole palette thing, yeah.
Yeah, I just my third eye is just blinking away.
Don't ever show me the third eye. Or your brain.
Okay.
Max Gumbo Johnson.
Hey, what's happening?
I'm just ready to talk about this show.
The show? Let's talk about the show.
Let's talk about the movie.
Okay, let's talk about the movie. I prefer that.
Yeah, right.
We've already talked about the show.
I know your week was spectacular because they always are.
It wasn't bad, but it seems early. Okay. Things could always go wrong.
It can always
go wrong.
It can always go straight to hell. Speaking of which, our producer.
Hey.
I love it when he goes, hey.
He does it every week.
Adam the Bomb Rogers, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, it looks like he's in a submarine right now. So he's kind of like breaking the surface of the water with his head popping up over the producing cube.
Yeah. That's so he can play Fruit Ninja in secret.
His head looks like a telescope.
Fruit Ninja.
Yeah. Not a telescope. I'm sorry.
Periscope.
He's not even fighting the Fruit Ninja anymore.
Nope.
He's just accepted it.
Even though I've never played the game before in my life.
All right, he has accepted it.
Denial is the first step.
Let's not deny our listeners how to keep up with us, though. Let's tell them how to do that. Get that out of the way. Obviously, we say it every week, any way you want. Facebook, Twitter, iTunes. It doesn't matter.
All
you have to do is go to theqfilmcast.net. Yeah, .net. You go there. You leave us your own review of this film or any of the films that we've reviewed or whatever. Just leave something.
Yeah. Come, look around.
Hang
out.
Hang around. You know, visit the lounge. Whatever.
Put a lounge on there.
let's put a lounge on there.
Why don't we put a lounge tab on the website?
Sure.
And people can just go in there and post whatever in the lounge.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds great.
I'll just have Girl from Ipanema on a loop.
Yeah. Get on that.
You don't think I can do this?
I'm sure you can.
All right. Well, let's get into it, though. Right.
We're going to see a lot of naked pictures.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We're going to see some brains.
Yes. Go in there and hang out with your brain. QFilmcast.net, though. Go there. All right. But let's get into the movies.
Sure.
Get into the movies. Into the film that we're going to talk about. Submarine 2010, written and directed once again by... His name is spelled so bizarre. I actually wrote out I-O-Y-D.
Iowati.
Richard Iowati, the double IT crowd, many British sitcoms, as we talked about. Previously stated, stars Craig Roberts, 22 Jump Street, Being Human, and The Double, which was also directed by Richard Iowati.
Oh, that was a good movie.
I have not seen that.
Half this cast is in The Double, by the way.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little bit of a troupe here, I guess.
Sure.
Stars Patty Considine, The World's End, Hot Fuzz, Cinderella Man. I remember him in that, The Double. Yasmin Page, she played the love interest here.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of TV, this and The Double. Sally Hawkins, Layer Cake, and Godzilla.
I love Layer Cake.
And Noah, you know, Noah Taylor's one of those actors, you just remember his face.
Yeah, he's got a very definitive face. Rememberable face.
Kind of like you, Savage, is what you were saying.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like an old shucks kind of face. Kind of like, meh. You know what I'm talking about? Hoodie, you familiar with that face?
Okay.
It's got him work.
So. Game of Thrones, Edge of Tomorrow, Red, White, and Blue, which was kind of cool. The Life Aquatic, Vanilla Sky, Tomb Raider. Almost Famous, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Game of Thrones, yeah, that's right.
That's where I know him, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went in everything. Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. I selected this one. I queued this up. My wife and I went and seen this at the Bell Court. She wanted to talk about it. Saw it pop up on Netflix. Says, okay, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
So let's talk about this film and what the critics gave this film. We do that every week. You know that, Max?
We do.
Critique the critics. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Let's do it here.
Huh? Okay. You got it.
IMDb, and how about you kicking this one off?
Me? No.
What do you think IMDb gave the Welsh film Submarine from 2010?
68%.
Well, it's a something point something.
Oh, sorry.
My bad.
The Great Max.
I usually go on Rotten Tomatoes.
The Great Max is falling.
I usually get Rotten Tomatoes.
Welcome to the Wells, sir.
6.8%. 6.8.
7.3%. Or 7.3.
Aha, you did it too. Boom.
He caught me. 7.3 on IMDb. Hoodie, Matthew St. Hoodie. Let's go over and talk about the tomatoes here, Rotten Tomatoes.
The tomatoes.
Talk about the tomatoes. How come it's not Rotten Tomatoes?
You say tomato, I say tomato.
From now on, it's Rotten Tomatoes.
You say tomato?
Tomato.
Rotten Tomatoes, critics-wise, what do you think they gave this particular film?
60?
81%.
That's crazy.
That's wacky That's talk.
Savage.
Yes.
Did you say critics?
Yeah, critics.
They gave it 86%.
Oh, I had that wrong. All right, 86%. Damn it. Okay. Never mind. The users gave
That's
it 81.
That's what I meant to say anyways. Right,
right. I'm going to step in. I never get to do it to myself.
Right.
81% from the users since I screwed it up.
All right.
So anyways, there you go.
That's crazy, too.
Yeah. Here's what you have. Synopsis of the film. Goes a little something like this. Oliver Tate, the dry, precocious, soon-to-be 15-year-old hero of this engagingly offbeat story, lives in the seaside town of Swansea, Wales. He sees himself as a self-styled social scientist, a spy in the baffling adult world surrounding him, and a budding hormone-driven emotional explorer. In other words, he's James Hartsup Savage. No, sorry. In other words, Oliver is stealthily, and perhaps a bit more nervously than he'd ever admit, nosing his way forward through a murky and unique perilous waters of adolescence. His objectives? Uncovering the secrets behind his parents' teetering marriage, unraveling the mystery that is alluring an equally quirky classmate Jordana Hyde's, losing his virginity and possibly understanding where he fits in amongst the pansexuals, Zoroastrians, and other mystifying, fascinating beings that will soon inhabit his orbit. A little something there.
Yeah, I guess it's about that.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll figure it out.
Oh, you're done?
Yeah, I'm done. Don't worry about it. But anyways, here you go, guys. Here's a trailer from Submarine 2010, and we'll come back in just a minute and tell you what we thought of it as well. Here you go.
My name is Oliver Tate. I suppose it's a bit of an affectation, but sometimes I wish there was a film crew following my every move. I don't quite know what I am yet. I've tried flipping coins, listening exclusively to French crooners. I've even had a brief ad phase, but nothing stuck. My parents have not had sex for 7 months. I've been monitoring their intimacy via the dimmer switch in their bedroom. Jordana Bevan's moderately unpopular, which makes a romance between the two of us more likely.
Meet me under the ridge after school and we'll take you from there.
Now kneel down. Close your eyes. Wow, you look mentally retarded.
What are you going to do with the photos?
What are you complaining about? Is this conclusive proof they might not be gay?
I asked if she was my girlfriend now. She said,
I'll think about it.
But what she meant was, yes, we are now as one.
And my parents are going to the cinema on Thursday, and the house is empty on Thursday evening.
Are you asking me to come round and have sex with you?
If I say yes, is that less than the chance of you wanting to?
To us, and a wonderful evening of lovemaking.
You're a serial killer.
Okay, so there you go. There's a piece of the film we're talking about tonight, Submarine 2010. Let's get into a little bit of trivia.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Don't bring the spicy mustard or nothing there, Max. All right, so here we go. A little bit about the film. Did you know Hard Sub Savage?
Yes.
Did you know that each of the main characters has a color which can be seen in their clothes and possessions? Oliver's is blue. Jordana is white. Jill is yellow. Lloyd is brown. I saw that right away. He has earth tones.
Yeah.
Graham is black. But as Oliver gets to know Jordana more in the story, more red sneaks into his palette.
Yeah. No, I completely picked up on it.
Yeah, they did that in the Spider-Man movies.
Producer, I'm going to go to you on this one. Did you know that towards the beginning of the film's prologue, Oliver is imagining what would happen if he were to die? In that daydream, Oliver refers to the man on the PA system as Mr. Dunthorne. Most likely a nod to the guy who wrote the film.
Has to be.
Has to be, absolutely. Did you know that Ben Stiller is the actor featured in the American soap opera that Oliver watches?
No.
Yeah. He's also the producer on here.
Yeah, he produced it, so yeah, we'll step in for him. Did you know that Iowati... Hoodie! Did you know that Iowati has directed many music videos, including for Vampire Weekend, Kasabian, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, before finally getting his chance to direct a feature film?
I did not. I'm better now.
It's like a public service announcement. The more you know. Did you know that Iowati's trademark is fuzzy hair, thick rim glasses, and a high-pitched voice? Well, producer, two out of three ain't bad. Don't worry about it. We'll get you new
glasses.
Yeah. We'll
characters
get glasses.
Or him? I think it's him.
Yeah, it's him.
Oh. Okay, yeah, I guess so. This is trademark.
Yeah.
This is trademark.
That's not that tough to pull off.
No, not too bad. Yeah, you get you a perm, Max. You're in there.
I could do that.
No, I've had one. I know how to give you one. Did you know that Iowati is close friends with lead singer of Arctic Monkeys, Alex Turner? He has directed three of their music videos, and Alex did the soundtrack for this film, Submarine.
Yep.
Talking about currency, because we don't use thumbs up or thumbs down.
That's no. Those are defective.
I think they're just flat out stupid.
I'm using a different word every week now.
All right.
This week it's defective.
What are we going to use? I think we talked about, oh, I know what it was, hijacked notes. No, wait.
Intercepted notes,
like in class. When you remember that?
Yeah.
That was like texting in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sly, though. I never
texting
got
in the 80s.
Wasn't that texting in the 80s?
I kind of missed that, the folding notes and all that.
Passing them.
Give that to Tony.
Yeah, we should pass notes during this. We should pass. Matter of fact, I'm going to pass one to you, Savage. It says, will you go with me, circle wire in?
In.
Yeah.
Read that in front of the class, sir.
Don't you remember
yes
those?
Yes or maybe? You're giving me no choice.
Circle or yes or no?
Could you put maybe in there? Oh, okay.
Check.
All right, so let's go ahead. I want to go last, so I'm just going to go straight to the left. Savage, let's talk about this film, Submarine. What do you give this particular selection this week?
I'll give it a 7. I'll give it a 7. I see where all the kind of users and critics are falling in line with this. It's charming. It's a quirky little charming Welsh rain-filled film.
It's very Welshy.
It is very Welshy. I mean, there's one kid you could hardly understand.
I wanted to hang out with him.
Chips or whatever. I
mean, oh, he was hysterical, yeah.
Yeah, you could I mean, because Welsh is a different language. It's not English, so you could barely understand that kid, but I liked it.
If you want to piss a Welsh person off, call him English. Yeah, do that.
Good to know.
I'll give it a 7.
All right, solid 7.
After this, I might.
What about you, Hoodie? What are you going to give this film?
I want to go 6, but I'm sitting on a 5 right now.
Ooh. Didn't care for it, huh?
Okay. Yeah, it's got all the elements I like. They just didn't come together.
Yeah, I thought you really liked that. We'll get into that. But producer, let's go to you next. What are you going to give this film, 2010 Submarine?
I thoroughly enjoyed this. It surprised me. I'm going to go 7.
Okay. Good solid 7 there. Max, what you going to go with?
5.
I didn't care for this movie too much. I sensed that coming. All right, let me get my crap out of the way and then direct traffic. I like doing it that way.
Right.
I'm thinking I'm going somewhere between a 7 and an 8.
All right.
I think I'm going to go a hard 7.
Okay.
I really did enjoy this, and revisiting it again was nice. The first time I saw this, I felt like it was a bit muddled, not as obvious as I wanted it to be. So I was able to grab a lot more this time, and it gave me a much more intact idea of what the film was. Obviously, we've seen this sort of thing before. Like Hoodie talks about the content and stuff, but Wes Anderson comparisons are legit. But I think this is what it is. You know what I'm talking about.
What?
Well, we'll get into that in a second. But I think it's done really, really well, especially from the way it's shot and put together. I love the camera work and the creativity in it. There's some really cool stuff like that, creative-wise, but really terrific sequences in this, especially when we get to see things through Oliver's head, his flashbacks, or what he says, the Super 8 movie memories.
Yeah.
Just lots of charm here, and lots of charming performances. I think that's what I like best. Specifically, Yasmin Page.
Yeah, Jordana.
I mean, her smirk just killed me.
Yeah.
I loved that. I loved that performance. I was really engaged. Noah Taylor, he's always good, you know. But when it comes to a story, I think it's pretty endowed as well. I like how they took the obvious premise, you know, once again, what is love theme?
Sure.
But gave it kind of a whodunit spin. Oliver's portrayed more of as a Sherlock Holmes rather than a nitwit.
Well, it's a little of both.
Yeah, a little bit of both. But he's on the job. He's trying to solve the mystery of how do you make love work? All right, I'm supposed to get into this. What are the rules?
Right.
Right? Well, he finds out there really aren't any.
I'd say surprise, there are none.
Right.
But I also like what I think and believe the film is about, which is losing the innocence that comes with what you think love is about, what you can expect from love and relationships, the fact that there is no secret formula that he's trying to find. There's a couple of things that really punch it home. I think the directing is really good. I really liked Iowati. And once again, the three breakaway sequences with Alex Turner and the music, they're just fantastic. These are just little capsules of that really stood out to me. I thought they made it really special. Matter of fact, I went straight from the movie and bought the soundtrack. Anyways, we'll have some details to bring up, but that's my spiel. So let's go back around to Savage.
Yeah.
You say you like some stuff. Get into it.
I do like some stuff, and against my better nature, because these are not the films that I tend to gravitate.
You always say that.
I know, right? Maybe I should like
these might be the movies that you like.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe
right. So. But it was charming. It was charming, and I think it goes back to you're just sold on the characters. I mean, this kid could stare at nothing, and I like that ability. You know, the people who can stare down a camera, or just stare at nothing. This guy had that 1,000-yard stare, which I really liked. And I like how you say he was like Sherlock Holmes on the job. I didn't look at it that way, but you're dead on. And he was trying to solve the mystery. Have we seen these stories before? Yeah, the first love. What is love? Is it new love? Trying to figure it out. Trying to use your mind instead of your heart.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the premise I went with. Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, feeling the dichotomy of that newness, but against the backdrop of the reality of when it becomes old through his parents, you know, and trying to equivocate the two, I thought was a really neat dynamic. And it was funny. I mean, there was charming quirk throughout the whole thing. And you're right, Jordana, the smirk on her, she had a kind of a Natalie Portman in Professional kind of allure.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember when I saw this, I thought that may be one of my best performances of that year. And I think I wrote it down as it.
So, yeah.
Her performance?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, she sold me on it. And then there are some not so obvious things like the use of color, but I really did pick it up. So maybe it was obvious. I don't know. I'm not usually real clear on that, but how she was his lady in red.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was always pursuing, you know, red being the color of passion and his color was blue. And,
yeah.
You know, somber or underwater. Submarine means underwater. And there's all kinds of symbolism that I started.
Yeah. And especially the part at the end when he realizes he lost her and she hands him a package of matches that has a picture of a torpedo on it.
Yeah, no, it's rife with it. This film is rife with symbolism from the aquarium where they're all sitting underneath the aquarium at the dinner table.
Yeah,
I mean it's full of little things like that that once you start seeing it, you start seeing it all over. So it's real clever and charming, and I was just charmed by it.
Did you go and get your hair cut afterwards immediately?
No, nothing like that. And I think it turns. I think there's enough twists in it too that you think you know what's going to happen. And then it doesn't happen, and you're still satisfied with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I liked it.
All right. Well, we'll get into some more of these details,
sure.
Break it down just a bit. But let's keep going around the table. Hoodie, Matthew St. Hoodie, what you got? Talk about.
Okay. I feel like I might need to see this again. I'll just admit that. I didn't see a lot of this stuff, mostly because I was just bored with it. I was just really bored with it. And the parts that I did, you know, sit through just seemed really kind of unoriginal. And you're talking about the creativity and the story. And then James said, obviously, that it's been done over and over, and I agree. But it's still the timeless story. You can tell this 100 times, and it won't get old if you do it right. But the camera work, the ideas that he had behind the camera, I thought were pretty stale.
Really? I thought that was the better part of it, especially when you get back into the grainy, what he calls the Super 8 moments.
Were great. I like that.
I did like that, but that's not an original idea.
Well, no, but it's done well. And what about when they push her into the puddle and all the freeze frame stuff?
Hated it. You didn't like it? Okay. Hated it.
Right. Hated it.
I really did. I was just like, ugh. I can't help it. What do you do?
No.
The part that I keep going to is, when he's, laying down and then the water creeps into his bedroom and everything falls off.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Come on.
I'll give you that. I understand that.
Most of the time, you know, with this stuff, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I mean, cause you can kind of hark back to like, Eternal Sunshine with the house, you know, falling apart around it. But that was just, that's how you do it.
There's one scene though when he lays on the bed and the Alex Turner score comes in. You Can't Get Around the Wind. That final song, which is fantastic.
It is a good song.
He lays on the bed and it's monotone. It sounds very lo-fi. And then he turns into the postcard and it becomes hi-fi in the music. You know, stuff like that.
And that's why I might need to see this again. I wasn't looking for a lot of the details, mostly just because I was trying to get through what was presented to me. Mm. And as far as the detail, like sitting under the aquarium, I did kind of pick up on that. And you're comparing that to Wes Anderson, who really pushes that to the forefront with his he really saturates the screen and gives that to you up front and center. And this one, it seemed, if he is doing that, it seemed like it was just kind of lost in the gray in the middle. Yeah. Like, if you're going to go that route, I think you really need to push it, like really push it. Like, make the whole screen the aquarium or something.
Yeah, a little more magical.
You know what I'm saying?
Wouldn't you say that there's a kind of a monotoneness to Wes Anderson's dialogue? There's almost like kind of a straightforward, and I felt a lot of that here, too. The dialogue was real straight and trying to be quirky, but just, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
this is very
I
good.
Know what you're saying.
Kind of. Yeah. That was my connection here. But.
Okay. I didn't connect this to Wes Anderson, and I'm a little offended.
You Welshman.
But I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It just didn't hit the mark at all.
All right. Yeah. You know, it's funny because, like I said in my little rendition, I felt like I got a lot more the second time. It felt a little mundane the first time.
Right.
Second time I went up. Yeah, I was only going to give it a 6, but liked it the second time. But Max, you're at 5. You got to watch a couple more times, I guess, to get to 7.
I guess.
What did you get out of this film?
I'm with Matt. I was sitting there watching it, and I guess I had to get up and go to the bathroom. I hit pause. And it was like at 35 minutes. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. No, I did that, too. I stopped it 3 times.
Really?
And I was like, I'm only an hour into this? Come on.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. Man, come on. I didn't like the characters. I didn't like Jordana, especially. I couldn't stand her. Couldn't stand her. Didn't like Oliver. Didn't like his parents. Well, his dad was okay.
He kind of looked like you a little bit.
He was sort of
Max
beat.
Looks like Noah.
No, I don't look like him. But his dad was so beat down, and it was like, he just turned into sort of a wuss, but he was so beat down by everything. I mean, the guy just kind of gave up eventually. And his mom, she was a nutcase.
Yep.
I like Jordana's parents. They were cool. They seemed cool.
They wore cool hats.
And then what happened? One of them dies. Yeah. Like, you killed the best character in the whole movie.
She never died. She didn't die.
No, okay, I take that back. She didn't die. You're right. I forgot.
The dog died, so technically a family member did.
I didn't like the characters. They were selfish.
You haven't even mentioned Graham yet in that kick-ass van.
Right, and that mullet? Come on.
You can bring him up when it's your turn. But exactly what Matt said. This stuff's all been... It's like he was trying to make it so quirky and cool and cutesy and stuff for the sake of doing that, and he forgot that there had to be something of interest in this whole thing going on.
Okay.
And he got so caught up in trying to make something look or sound unique or anything.
Got caught up in the details.
Yeah,
he forgot about the story.
He forgot to make it interesting. And I was it really did bore me.
It really did bore me, too.
All right. Yeah, well, I really thought that the music held. I love the standalone little, let's pull it out and look at this. The dream sequences and the musical renditions were nice. I didn't like those. You know, like as a standalone.
I did like the Super 8s. I thought those were really romantic.
I thought they were well done, but I'm not one of these people that goes like, oh, man, that was a great movie. I love the music. Well, I'm not going there to listen to music. I'm going there to watch a movie. You could have no music in it, as far as I'm concerned. It just has to be a good movie.
Well,
if the music adds to that.
I thought it did. I thought it really did. I'm an Alex Turner fan. I especially was after this film, but.
Bias.
What's that?
Bias.
Bias. Well,
no, you're a biased reviewer.
But let's go over to the producer. You liked this quite a bit. I think you gave it a 7 as well with Savage Night. But tell us what you got.
I liked right when it started out, when it had the like Dear Americans pop up, and it's talking about...
That offended me.
Me too.
Really?
I'm not even joking.
I thought it was funny.
I shouldn't have been offended, but I was like, oh, come on.
What's that supposed to mean? Like,
it's from the book.
I think he's being a little tongue-in-cheeky. He talked about... The Jones that he gave. Yeah, we produced Catherine Zeta Jones and Tom Jones. And
thanks for not bombing us, America.
Yeah, thanks for not bombing my country. Treat us as an equal, blah, blah, blah.
But that was
only in the American cut. It wasn't in the other cuts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Max knows this, but he didn't know if one of the characters died or not.
I forgot.
He was counting the dog.
I forgot about the mom. Sorry.
I forgot about the mom.
I was wondering if he was going to bring that up. I don't know. I can let that lie.
Yeah. I was surprised that I was offended by that, to be honest with you. That's not something that would normally offend me.
Yeah,
but that
sounds like something you'd say, actually. So
again, and this is the type of movie that I would like.
Yeah.
Go figure. I'm just having an off day.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I thought it started out great. That caught my attention immediately, and... I enjoyed it thoroughly through the whole thing. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was good. I thought the characters were really good. I thought it was shot pretty well. I loved the Super 8 moments, and I thought the music added a lot to it. And I think that's what kept my score up, is the music was so great in it, and I thought it made it better as a film. But there's a lot of little moments in there that I really, really enjoyed, little scenes, and I'll get into those a little bit later.
All right, well, let's get into some of the details and stuff. We'll get into some of the scenes, kick them around, see what comes up. See what pops up like a periscope, Max, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Submarine. You see my tie in there?
I got that.
I'm going to hand you a book of matches with a torpedo on it. Shoot you down.
What's up with that? You try that, I'll smack you in the mouth.
Don't make me go sit in a bathtub.
Yeah, that's right. Don't make me pee on your rug or whatever. Hide under your bed.
Yeah, for a second there, I didn't know if he was peeing or...
That's what I was wondering. I was like, golly, what's this guy doing?
Because usually when I was alone with a VHS tape, you know, it was
right. He had a very active arm.
All right, let's stop here, guys. Let's listen to a piece of this film, Submarine 2010, and we'll come back, kick this thing around, see what comes up. So here you go.
Listen, I hope you don't mind, but your mother informs me that you have a girlfriend. Is there anything I can help you with there?
I'm not sure yet. I'll let you know.
Yes. Listen, look, I know you think I'm very boring, you know, but once I ripped my vest off in front of a woman, and it was very effective, actually.
I know.
Yeah, it produced a very atavistic response. It's just something to bear in mind. And listen, I made you a cassette recording. It's a compilation of songs I used to listen to during some of my early formative relationships, you know, and plus just a couple of things I thought you might dig. I think music can make things seem a bit more real sometimes, if you know what I mean.
Thanks.
I've also included some breakup songs towards the end, just in case things don't work out, which obviously, you know, that isn't the aim, though... I've got to tell you, it is likely. Passion rarely lasts, I'm afraid.
All right, so there you go. There's a Submarine 2010, a piece of it. We're going to get into some of these scenes. Can I ask you a question, Hoodie?
Yep.
If the house was on fire right now, who would you save, me or Max?
Theoretically speaking.
Theoretically speaking.
I would save Max. That way we'd have a better shot of saving you.
Ooh, yeah, see that?
See?
That's called playing along.
You see where we rank at him?
Yeah,
we're,
see what I'm talking about?
We're burning up in
here. Oh, I didn't know they were in the house. Oh, that doesn't change a thing.
Adam?
That doesn't change anything.
I'm going to go straight to Adam. I want to hear, but he was anxious to talk about a couple scenes. Let's go right back to him real quickly here. Sure. And by the way, Sir Adam, you are a light. You are a prism. You are lucid and you are delicious, as Graham said in this film. Anyways, talk a little bit about a scene or two that really stood out.
One of my favorite scenes is when Mom and Dad is talking to him about having a girlfriend for the first time.
Yeah.
And his mom is surprised and happy that he's got one. And then she turns around and gives him the two thumbs up.
Yeah.
And his dad's just sitting there talking about breakup songs.
Gives him the cassette.
Yeah. I thought that was one of the best scenes in the entire film. And my favorite, though, is when they have all the music playing and then they start kissing on the beach and all of a sudden the music just stops. And you just see them kissing. And it's just very silent going around them. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah. There was nice interactions. There's a lot of oddity with everybody. No one was comfortable in this film.
Yeah.
What about you, Hoodie? When you think of this, though, like it or not, what is something that... Okay, well, there's a scene. Yeah,
No. One thing I really liked was the dimmer switch, that whole play, running joke through the whole movie.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. I loved his inspecting of, you know, I have to go on my daily inspection of the parents' room and find out what's going on. I thought that actually played And at the end, when he walks in and the parents were actually doing it, and he, you know, does, he finishes his spiel and walks out and turns the light up. I thought, I was like, that's a great punchline to that whole joke that's been running through the whole movie. That was the best part of the, this whole movie.
I hope I never see a dimmer switch in my parents. I'm going to remove all of them.
Take them all.
Yeah. Which is interesting. I guess, yeah, he had to, if the dimmer switch was down when he hit, turned the light on, they'd gotten a little wah-wah the night before.
Right, but it hadn't been down. It hadn't been turned to halfway in like 3 months or something.
Something
crazy.
Like that, yeah.
6 months, I don't remember.
He was an analytical little bastard. He had to figure really everything out.
Well, you can't do it now with the CFL bulbs. Sucks.
See, he's trying.
Right. Adam's on it.
Yeah, and I think at the end, too, as analytical as he was, I'm going to tell you what I liked best, I think, is the ending scene. Because in the end, he finds out, wait a minute, all this stuff that I thought I had figured out ended in a disaster. And in the end, he thought she was going to turn around and be this ugly old woman, yeah, and it was her. And he realizes that not knowing can also be beautiful. Not having to figure it out can also have a happy ending. And I don't know how you take the ambiguous waiting out in the water, but I liked it. I liked the ending.
I liked the ending, too. It was a little bit cliche, and when you're watching it, you kind of throw open your mouth a little bit, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah. It was almost kind of like an analytical movie to it. It required you to almost have to put a lot of data into it. That's one thing I didn't kind of like. That's why I needed that second watch.
Yeah. Well, but it goes to the point of him trying to use his mind to figure out his heart, and you can't do that.
Yeah.
You simply can't do that. And you could tell he was so uptight. I mean, he carried himself, and this probably goes to the direction. He was ramrod straight throughout the entire thing. He was very static. And the only time he was ever loose was when he was with Jordana. So, That's that. And the ending, I think it just goes to how far will you follow me with no question, going into the water? Just how deep are you willing to take this? Yeah. And then, when I there was a moment where I really cheered for this film, and it was when, he tried to seduce her, gets her to the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
With the red bed and the candles, and she just hightails it out, right? And then she reads the note. And then his words were so powerful, it just stopped her on a dime, turned her around. And, you know, won her heart at that moment with just the sentiment of his words. And I cheered out loud with that. You know, it's like the pen is mightier than the sword.
He won more than a heart.
Yes, he did.
Almost didn't. He had to work hard for it. Yeah, he loses his virginity. I'm glad they didn't do that.
I'm glad they didn't do that either.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, everybody needs an unintelligible funny friend. And that's why we bring Max here.
I think it's Adam's role.
Oh. Hey, Max, let's get over to you some of the details. We know you didn't care for the film, but there are a couple things like the boyfriend with the long neck. Yeah. He has a ridiculously long neck, you know, and then you had the unintelligible.
I hate giraffes.
Yeah. He had the unintelligible friend who popped up every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And even the one guy showed a little still frame him taking a dump in the whatever. Scatologically.
Child of God all over again.
Yeah, exactly. But all these little details, any of those that you appreciated or anything at all or what?
None of those, no.
Yeah, okay.
There were a couple of scenes toward the beginning of the movie that I liked. Maybe I like them more in retrospect because of what happened in the rest of the movie. The whole teasing of the fat girl.
Yeah.
Zoe,
yeah. That played a little bit bigger of a part as the movie went on, to me, anyway, because I just found Jordana just a despicable
person. Why? Why is she so despicable?
Well, she's out there making fun of everybody. She's got this eczema, and she's goading this guy into being her boyfriend. She's such a narcissist. She takes him out under the train tracks and bring the camera and the diary.
Well, she's trying to figure all this stuff out. She shouldn't know
what it is. So she takes all the pictures of him kissing her. And then, okay, now write this in your diary. And he's like, okay, I'm going to leave them around for people to find so they can say that you were with me. Like, that's some big, great accomplishment.
She did all that to get back at her ex.
Right.
Well, but still, she was thinking about herself. You know, like, well, you ain't no great catch, eczema-ridden thing. Go get some Noxzema with your flaky skin. And she's being all mean to the girl, right, Zoe, at the beginning, and she runs off. And then the rest of the movie, she's asking for sympathy and empathy. Screw you.
Well, listen, this is at a point in your life when you don't have any platform yet. You're trying to figure out what is right and wrong.
Right.
It's like when in the beginning, what's his name? Oliver.
Oliver
he
Tate.
Says, Jordana's my kind of girl, and here comes his A-brain. She's slightly unattractive, which makes it possible.
Right.
This would up my street cred because they'd give me a girl. And she seems to like bullies, so I'm going to have to adapt.
Right.
They haven't understood the consequences of their actions yet.
Right. He said the word of the day, flagitious. Delightfully wicked.
How quirky.
It means delightfully wicked. Okay. And that he used that to describe her because she was delightfully wicked.
I can think of some other words to describe her.
He didn't like Jordana.
Maybe they should have played this the Zoe story. She just kind of dropped out.
I wanted to know.
Honestly, if they had kept that as a running thing, even just brought her up at the end to like make amends and have him be more well-rounded, do a full circle with that, I might have liked this a little bit better.
Me too.
Well, didn't he make out with her?
Yeah, but that was towards the beginning middle.
Yeah, but beginning of the middle. That was a flashback.
That was a flashback, right.
His first kiss. Yeah.
Oh, what he did do for, though, he wrote the manual on how to deal with bullies and how to overcome your bully experiences, remember?
Yeah.
He says, here, matter of fact, take the lead from this one guy who took a crap at school. Right. He could have been embarrassed, but he started cheering and made it fun. He owned it.
Right.
So he wrote, and he took it to the mother, and the mother said, what's he say? Oh, that's a big no. She has a big heart.
It was the cafeteria lady.
Oh, okay.
The lunch lady.
The lunch lady.
Man, not a big fan of this movie. I might go down. I literally might go down.
Well, what you do with Matt after the show is just...
Naughty. What happens in the van.
Or in the backyard.
And then, Graham.
Yeah.
What was that all about? Is his so mom's weird. Ex-boyfriend.
It's so weird.
And he just happens to move in next door with his hot Asian girlfriend.
It's a small town. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a small country.
They recently had the whole country carpeted, Max. That's how small it is. Yeah. Rhode Island could kick the crap out of it in a war, okay?
All right, whatever you say.
And Graham's current girlfriend was way better looking than the mom.
Yeah, but she broke up with him and left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what he says.
His light didn't shine bright enough.
Either way, they weren't together. He went down a notch.
I think it's you can't wrangle, no matter what stage you're at in life, with love, whether you're married for years. There's no set template.
No.
It's not on rails.
No.
You know, whether you're young, old, whatever, and I think that's kind of the theme of the whole thing. Why'd she get with the boyfriend, you know, whatever? She's questioning her marriage, you know.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
I thought the theme was the whole mirror image. His parents are breaking up, and he's trying to figure out how to keep this girl interested in him.
Yeah.
At the same time, he's trying to figure out how to keep his parents together. And he apparently somewhat failed at that.
Yeah, but he's also becoming his father at the same time.
Yeah. I noticed that. That was one of my favorite scenes where him and his dad are sitting there having dinner.
They both stood up their dates.
And they're like, let's just sit here and talk and be miserable men.
No, they're both quietly disregarding their responsibilities.
And
at that point, he starts wearing his father's robe, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which is strange, and drinking the hot lemon water.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but he's embracing turning into his father. So
yeah, not for long.
Well, his dad got the lady.
He did.
So
that cheated on him.
Yeah,
in the back of the van down by the river with
Graham. They discussed it. They're talking
down
about
by
it.
The river. Did we know we just made that?
Yeah, you got to go somewhere in the van.
I was referring more to Chris Farley.
I know.
What did you think of his stealth move trying to figure out Graham's? What would the Graham do for a living? He was a motivational guy.
He was a motivational speaker.
He was like a guru.
I thought he was a psychic. Did that not happen?
And he's laying that crap on. Thick to the
Oh, yeah.
It's a burden of mine. Having this light inside is a
this
burden
gift
of mine.
This is gift. A burden.
Also known as a fraud.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he was a phony.
Of course he was.
He knew he was a phony.
Right.
He just wouldn't admit it to anybody else. His mom thought it was real.
I like the flashbacks of the parents, too, when they told their backstory, like the mother was going to be an actress till she found out her tongue was too large.
Somebody
and that's all you
that.
Knew about her, so she just got married and got an office job.
Well, but you also know that she keeps her keepsakes because she had the picture that Graham drew when they were teenagers or something.
That's Love right. G.
Yeah, so she's got the little treasure chests of memories.
Hey, producer, how deep is the ocean?
You should know this.
You should really know this.
6 miles?
There you go. They brought that up a lot. You know, the name of... let me ask you a question, Max. Okay. I think this will be fun. Thinking back about your first high school love, he calls his Super 8 memory movie 2 Weeks of Lovemaking. Remember that? That's what
I did name that, yeah.
He's like, I would name my film 2 Weeks of Lovemaking. What would you call yours? 2 minutes of lovemaking? Hey, let's be honest. If you're going to make a movie about your first love, it would be more like 2 minutes of lovemaking, if you're lucky.
Mine would be 2 weeks of...
Mine would be like 2 months of pleading and begging.
Yeah, right?
And she finally decided to go out with me.
Mine would be gone in 60 seconds. Anyways, yeah. And then, of course, the dream sequence in the beginning. Max, did you care about that? Remember, he's thinking back about his own funeral and death. I think we've all done that. I wonder who'd show up at my funeral. We've all done that, though. I've done it, wondering what my funeral would be like and who'd show up and what kind of food we'd have there. Who'd cater it?
Who'd cater it?
Panera Bread.
Do they cater funerals?
I'm going to cater mine. Actually, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna
need some make meatballs.
Have a taco ball.
You know I have a taco fetish.
Yeah, right.
I want to be buried in a giant taco shell in the ground. Everybody comes by and sprinkles cheese on me. Whoa! What do you think about that?
But before they put you in the ground, they're gonna wrap you in a pizza and deep fry you.
But we're not done. You're wrapped in a gordita and then fried. But only after we add the gravy.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, that's how good this movie was. We're sitting here talking about your funeral and wrapping you in a gordita.
Hey, anytime I get a chance to talk about gordita,
burrito, I would think. Yeah. Okay.
No, I thought that the performances were pretty good too. I thought they could have been worse. That's one thing I liked was the only, you know, what's interesting though.
That's the greatest compliment you can make to him. It could have been worse.
No, but I thought that Oliver was kind of a little too A-brain for me, but I liked everybody else. And you brought up the parents too, her parents, Jordana.
Her parents I liked.
Yeah.
That guy was a party hat, man. I wanted to hang out with him.
Love that guy. Yeah. Love that guy.
He thought his wife was dying.
Yeah. That was a nice scene too, when the dinner scene when they all walk off and he just takes a sip. I thought that was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like, too, when they go out in the, you say, well, this ruthless exterior for Jordana, but they get out in the street, and all of a sudden she's crying, and it freaked him out.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm out of here. He didn't know how to deal with that at all.
Well, he was freaked out at the dinner. I mean, right then is when it broke, because the fantasy was over at that point. Mm-hmm. The reality of what the price of love was revealed to him at that moment, because he had seen his parents. That was just kind of dissolving in the most banal kind of way. But the passion that's associated with the price of loss is what he saw there, and I don't think he was willing to pay it at that point.
Yeah, it was about really pulling back the curtain on your expectations of going forward into this.
Yeah.
There's no template, no manual with this thing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his whole thing would, you know, just I'm not going to answer the phone so I don't have to talk to her, so I don't have to make an excuse for not coming to the hospital. And then when he finally meets her and says why he didn't answer the phone and come to the hospital, I thought that's a sucky thing to do.
No, it's lame, man, but we've all made fear-based decisions, and sometimes avoidance is the simplest answer.
I never have.
Not with your girlfriend or your wife.
No, of course not.
You got to man up and say, hey, look here. Here's the deal. I'm not down with that.
I don't like it, but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not coming to the you tell me what happens, and I'll say, hey, right. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Sorry. You
know? But there's another parallel, too, between the parents and him and Jordana. When he finds out that his mother did the old little five-knuckle shuckle, I guess, to release Graham's inner light. Matt, you should try that move.
Not
help me out with my light.
Her hand was a prism.
Yeah. I think then he understands that it's you can forgive each other. In his mind, it's a one-shot deal. Once you break trust, the relationship's damaged. And in that scene, he realizes, well, wait a minute. You can still go on. And I think that's when he goes forward and approaches Jordana for forgiveness when he saw his parents do this.
Maybe I just disagree with the philosophy of this movie. Then.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe I'm the same way.
Unforgiving bastards and what you are.
Well, I mean... We'll talk later.
That van and that hair together. Oh, that's man. A bold statement, though, Max. Uh-huh. Come on.
Well,
you ever have your hair like that?
It was the 80s.
Yeah.
By the way, was it the 80s?
It was.
I wondered if it was.
It was. Of course it was.
80s,
it was
early 90s.
I never even questioned
VHS.
It.
All right, let's stop here, guys. Let's listen to a piece of this film, Submarine 2010, and we'll come back, kick this thing around, see what comes up. So here you go.
Dear Oliver, I tried to tell you, but I figure you only probably believe me if it's in writing. It's over. I enclose my lighter as a parting gift for you. Also, I think you should know I found someone else. When we're in school together, try not to look upset. I know you're a good actor. P.S. You were right about my being allergic to dogs. I got tested. Oh, and in case you're interested, my mum's fine now. Sorry if it made you feel awkward.
None of this will matter when I'm 38, but it's been 2 months since Jordana last spoke to me. Your new boyfriend has an incredibly long neck. Just thinking about your ass makes me angry. I wish I could hand in this excuse now.
Dear Mr. Davey, please may Oliver be excused from class. His tiny heart is broken. Yours sincerely, Lloyd Tate.
And there it is, a piece of the film we talked about right there, Submarine 2012. No, wait, 2010.
2010.
Sorry. I got a little flashback. A little dream sequence from last week when I said 2012. No, it's 2010. Submarine brought up our top three dream sequences. Daydreaming, sitting around night dreams, hot sweats.
Something like
terrible
that.
Nightmares.
Something.
Yeah, whatever. Anything. Anything that's not reality. So let's talk about this.
Dreamweaver.
Wow.
Gary Wright. Sound just like Gary Wright.
Yeah. Let's talk about what our number threes are to get it going. I'll lead it off.
Lead it off.
You know what I'm going to go with? I liked the dream sequence from Office Space.
What?
I'm trying to remember.
Are you kidding me? He's laying there in bed, and he's got the leg up. Lundberg has the leg up over his shoulder. And he's dreaming about him with his girl.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I need you to come in, all right? He's got the coffee cup and the leg. Yeah. Don't you remember that? And he's just dreaming. That. Show me your old face. Oh, oh. You know, I'm talking the whole thing.
I know. I remember now.
And then the spinning coffee cups. Yeah, you don't. That's my number three.
Yeah, he's got it.
That's right. It didn't jump out at you. That's a good dream there.
Sorry, sorry.
It was a
terrible dream.
Well, it's a good answer for a dream.
I got your point.
It is a good answer for a dream.
All right, Savage.
Yeah.
It's up to you. We're putting the pressure on you here.
Yeah.
Dream big.
Yeah,
dream big.
Dream big. I'm going to, the whole movie dream kind of thing. The movie's about dreams, being in dreams. Number three, Dreamscape with Dennis Quaid.
God, I love that movie.
Back in the day, Cobra Man.
Seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Such weird
CGI. Like the first PG-13 movie.
Was it?
I think it
was. Big dreams. Big dreams in there.
It was about dreams. It was about going into dreams and
Dreamscape.
interacting in the dreams.
It was like a poor man's Inception.
It may be.
A poor man's Inception.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
I'm afraid to watch it again.
I love that
movie.
Right?
Adam, really, he's over there saying, I love that
movie.
He loved
the nunchucks with the shurikens on the bottom of them, which could never work in real life.
I think if I watched that again, I'd have a Harold Maud moment.
When that guy turns into the cobra at the end. Oh.
Yeah, watch it again.
Hey, we brought this up. Didn't we bring up cheesy 80 monster movies?
Yeah,
that was the Cobra Man.
Cobra
Man and Dreamscape.
Wow, maybe that's one if ever popped up, we could talk about it.
I think it's on there, isn't it?
I don't know. Don't make me watch it.
Don't make me watch
it. Don't ruin my childhood memories.
I can't stop the music all over again.
Wow. What about you, Hoodie? The chips fall on your shoulders, sir. We're talking about number threes of dreams, sequences, and movies. What you got?
You're going to hate me for this one.
Why?
Christmas Story.
I hate you.
There's a bunch of them in Christmas Story. My favorite one was when he got blinded by the soap.
By the soap.
Soap poisoning. That was the best.
Well, the good news is, if I don't remember, I can sit around for a month straight in December and watch it beat into my skull on a daily basis.
I'll come over.
You don't have to. Can't believe you
just
didn't
don't
like that
turn
movie.
It on TBS.
No, it's not that I didn't. You know, some things you just get off to a bad start with them.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just don't know why.
You should watch it with a fresh mind.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that all the way through.
That's crazy.
What?
I don't think so.
Jeez Louise, what is wrong with you guys?
Something to do with the kid in the glasses and a BB gun.
His name was Ralphie.
And a leg lamp.
You're going to shoot your eye out.
Fragile.
It was Fragile.
Fragile.
No. Must be Italian.
That's a good answer, Hoodie. That's a proper dream.
You're right.
It's a validated answer. I validate this.
Mm-hmm.
I love that movie.
Nope, never seen it.
Yeah, wow. You'll get around to it eventually, I promise. Producer, let's go over to you. Number three, dream sequences.
Can't
and
wait for
films.
This.
What is it?
Better Off Dead, the hamburger.
Fantastic.
Sequence.
Yep. That
he's
whole
got
movie.
The Van Halen playing. I want some. Do you need some?
Everybody wants some.
Now, you've seen this film, Max.
Better Off Dead?
Yeah.
Pretty much the whole thing's him daydreaming.
Right.
Have y'all?
Well, I wonder what the street value is of this mountain. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm no dummy.
I want my $2.
I've been going to this high school for 6 years. I'm no dummy.
Yeah, nice job there, producer. Better Off
Thank
Dead.
You.
That's a movie I like to think about once in a while.
I like to watch it.
And you made me think about it.
You should watch it.
Yeah. Max Gumbo Johnson. I sit here with anticipation. Do not shatter my dreams.
Well, I might just hold up for a minute.
Oh.
Attention.
Number three is The Fly.
Oh, yeah. The birthing scene?
The birth, when she gave birth to a maggot.
Oh, terrible, terrible.
Oh, yeah.
That was like,
a nightmare.
And then, but you didn't know it was a dream at first.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, she was like, oh, my God, it's a maggot.
That wigged me out in the theater.
David Cronenberg's holding the big maggot and squirming around. God, I
so
loved
gross.
It. Now, like, slime and goop.
Boy,
off of it.
She passed like a 30-pound maggot, too. That was not like an 8-pound delivery.
That's a big maggot.
Right.
But, yeah, you thought for a minute the way it was edited and cut.
Thought it was real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
You know how much I loved it? I just took a pen and scratched it out because that was my number two answer.
Well, you could still keep it.
No. I'm going to go with something else.
Okay. Hey, what's your number three, Michael?
I already told you my number three, damn it.
Number two.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. It was completely forgettable.
It was Office Space, you nerd.
What's your number two, Michael?
My number two is, I think it's a dream I wouldn't mind having in my former days.
Ghostbusters?
No, American Beauty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
That's
in the tub.
Rose petals.
And rose
with
petals.
The petals and the laying down and the tuchus.
A beautiful girl.
Right.
A beautiful girl in your tub
dreams
covered in rose petals. Covered in rose petals? No.
Well, it is pedophilia.
Exactly.
P-E-T-A-L.
Nice. That's what I said.
Did you see how I threaded in nicely into my former days? Remember I said that?
Yes, yes.
See how I covered myself legally? How I legally covered myself?
Right.
You can dream. Right. You just can't do.
Right. I've had that dream. Girl in a tub. covered in rose petals.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were corn chips.
That sounds kind of frou-frou.
I think it was you in a tub.
Yeah, maybe it was me in a tub covered in corn chips. Maybe that's what it was.
That's more like it.
That's more like it.
Right. And your wife was feeding you tacos.
Yeah. Yeah, she was right. She feed right. me tacos. Savage.
Yeah.
You know the spiel. You know where we're at. We're talking number twos now.
Right.
And we're talking about a submarine, which inspired dreams and daydreams.
Yeah.
Dream sequences. So
I'm
go ahead.
With movies that were made for dreams. Dreams are the key point of this. And number two is The Cell with J Lo.
Oh, yeah.
Never have seen it. Yeah.
Vincent D'Onofrio. It's a beautiful, beautiful film. It's kind of dumb, but it's beautiful.
Oh, no. That one scene where he's walking down the stairs in the cape. Oh, it surrounds the whole entire room and it just starts moving.
Absolutely stunning to look at.
That's one of the best shots in cinema.
So you kind of dumb. You validate this, producer.
Oh, yeah. And I hate J-Lo and I still watch this.
Wow.
Well, you hadn't seen Out of Sight.
No, I haven't.
Well, you should because you'd love J-Lo.
Right.
At least for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Hoodie. It's beautiful, beautiful.
I agree. Yeah. The cinematography in that movie is stunning.
Yeah.
That's one I haven't Kind
of dumb.
Yeah. It's sort of a dumb movie. It's not a great movie.
Right.
It's fun to look at, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so is Hoodie, and I'm looking at him right here. And we're
I look at him all the time.
We're talking about number twos. We're talking about number twos, Hoodie. Go.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
With the midget on the tricycle.
Yeah. And
she's in bed with two pitchers.
Grandma pouring the champagne.
Who hasn't had this dream?
Yeah, there's all kinds of crazy stuff in there.
Chubb's got two hands.
Yeah, what
He's playing piano.
That's right. Nicely done. Shampoo is better. Oh, wait, that's Billy Madison.
That chick was movie. Hot.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. She looks better now than she did back then.
I haven't seen her.
I agree.
Oh, Modern Family.
Oh, she's on Modern Family? Who is
that? Oh,
she's the mother.
Oh, is that the what's her name? Vieira.
No, she's Bowden.
Bowden. Bowen.
Julie
Bowen.
Yeah, something like that.
That's exactly what it is.
Beautiful.
She's doing tire commercials, too.
I saw the tire commercials.
I saw that the other day.
Okay. Whoa.
She's
branching
out.
I like that answer.
Thank you.
I'm going to dream about that answer later. I'm going to dream about your dream answer. Yeah. Adam, queuing up his number two answer. Go.
The very end of the original Friday the 13th, where Jason comes out, he's all
mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
the very, very end of the first one when the mother is the killer?
He comes out and he grabs the girl and pulls her down.
And jumps out of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that part.
Freaky deaky.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Crazy stuff. Scared me.
And it started the whole franchise.
Yeah.
A whole history.
Unfortunately.
Hey.
Oh, come on.
Don't make him whip out
those movies.
Don't make him whip out his good times voice or whatever it is. Hey.
What's happening?
What's happening? Yeah.
Hey,
Max Gumbo Johnson. Hey. Speaking of what's happening right now with your number two?
I had a tough time with this, but I had to put it on there. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yep,
wow.
Of course.
When they were doing the surgery on his bicycle.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
Oh, it was awful. It was terrible. It scared me.
Yeah.
It scarred me. It scarred me for life.
That's your number one.
Number two.
It's my number two.
I meant number two, right? We ended number one.
My number two.
We'll figure out how to count someday.
I'm sorry.
He'll get around to it.
I meant to say number two.
But yeah, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the nightmare scene where they lowered into the furnace and stuff, sitting there with blowtorches on it and stuff. I love that movie.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
Love that movie.
Man, you guys are bringing the heat and the spicy mustard this sandwich.
The Welsh mustard.
Yeah. we're up to number ones now.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and reveal my number one because I know it's number one. I know it's the best answer. What is it? I can't remember. Oh, yeah. American Werewolf in London.
Yes.
That's a good one.
It is a good
one.
Great one.
He kept having kind of like the same recurring nightmare. First, he's chasing the deer and he's just a human.
Yeah.
Remember, he attacks the deer. And then he becomes like this creature and this demonic thing.
Oh, yeah. He has the dream.
That was a good dream.
I don't know that the deer was ever a dream. I think that was memories.
You think, where he tackled a deer naked and bit its neck?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he was doing.
Out on the moors. Right.
Yeah. The dream was when the guys came in with machine guns.
Yeah,
the Nazis.
Yeah, that's right, in the family.
Nazis.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
cut his throat and all that stuff. Yeah.
That's right.
Weird.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
All kinds of bad
dreams.
Loved it.
Yeah, the Nazi helmets, the pig people. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
Number one for me.
Sure.
Savage, what's yours?
About dreams. Let's go six dreams deep, and it is the rich man's inception. Inception.
That's a hell of a
you mean the inception.
The inception. If you're going to talk about dream movies.
I kind of left it off as like a pantheon sort of thing. I didn't want to bring it up. But
inception. What was your favorite one?
I liked the last one because how everybody was just floating in time, and I like how time slowed down further each dream.
That was cool.
It was cool. And then the ambiguity of it. Ambiguity of it
ambiguity.
All. of it all. With the little spinning thing. But, really neat to look at. I didn't like the chick in it. whatever her name is. Didn't like her.
Ellen Page.
Yeah. Ellen Page?
She's so cute.
She seemed a little miscast in that.
She
I remember
was completely
thinking that.
Miscast in that
I
film.
I liked her.
She seemed like she should have been the daughter of someone who was actually in the role.
Right.
I don't know why. I remember thinking that. Hoodie. Matthew St. Hoodie. Number ones, right?
Number ones.
Go.
Gutter Balls.
Yep.
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 Don't know.
Yep.
Big Lebowski.
That yep. is. Oh, very good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my number one, too. I'm
That's
just going to get
dream.
It out of the way.
Yeah.
Yep.
You ever seen Log Jammin'?
I am the cable man. I hear you have a problem. Carl Hungus.
Carl Hungus.
Man. Wasn't that the movie Log Jammin'?
Log Jammin', yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What was the name of the group in there? Autobahn.
Autobahn.
Sorry, I got thinking about jamming logs and I snorted. Autobahn.
See, we cut off your Johnson.
It's the money, Lebowski.
Yeah, that was the greatest dream sequence ever.
How crazy was that thing? I've been singing the song all day.
Me too. I've been thinking about it all day.
How about the guy that gives us his number one? We're talking about the producer. I'm terrified. What is it?
Greatest dream sequence of all time. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the pool scene.
Ooh. Mic drop. I'm going in the other room.
Phoebe
oh,
Cates.
Is it ever the best dream? It's the most usable dream in any
The most usable thing.
Yes. It defined a generation of young men, for sure.
It's still defining generations of young men to this day.
You're not yet.
If my name, if my legal name is Generations of Young Men, yes, it did.
Yep. I'm still holding out for Big Lebowski. Great.
Good answer, and
ever.
I think we all know why.
Oh, yeah.
Because
oh,
it's the greatest, one of the greatest movies ever.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
As
what
well. Is,
what?
Big Lebowski.
Oh, I thought, I'm still thinking of Phoebe Cates. I'm sorry.
I'm right back to the Big Lebowski.
Is that
right
your
back,
number one?
Right back to Maudlin.
Yeah.
Maudlin the dude, yeah.
Yeah.
Gutter Balls. Gutter Balls.
Gutter Balls.
So that wraps it up, didn't it?
Yeah.
All of our number
top
ones.
Top one, top three.
Yeah. Top one.
I'm kind of surprised that Raising Arizona didn't get a nod.
I thought about that. Max, give me some. Get Max, go into your honorable mentions. What are they?
That weren't named, Raising Arizona, Papillon, Dumb and Dumber, Blade Runner, Carrie, Terminator 2, and Trainspotting.
And all of Nightmare on Elm Street?
Trainspotting, yeah.
Yeah, you got to put the Nightmare on Elm Street on there.
I had Fletch, too, with the basketball.
The basketball scene in Fletch, that was
the basketball.
Great.
Yeah, with his hair, he's 7 foot four.
Yeah,
yeah.
Out comes Fletch.
You know, I put this out on Twitter, social media, like we always do. You want to know what came back?
Sure.
How come no one said Total Recall like Lee West at Lee West 82?
Well, that wasn't a dream.
It was it a dream, though?
Well, let me tell you what he put, you sneaky people. He put Total Recall, dot, 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 or was it? Yeah, you ambiguous. You ambiguous Twitter.
I watched
Twitter
that last night.
That's Lee West at Lee West 82. Rohan Michael Morby at Rohan MM says, Mulholland Drive, essentially possibly one long dream nightmare.
Never seen that.
You never seen Mulholland Drive?
Just awful.
I just said I've never seen that.
You know what? It was awful, but I'm glad I watched it. It was one of those kind of weird movies like that.
I want to see it.
Yeah. Let's just say that Fest Times at Ridgemont High may come in second.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. He's got a point. That was a usable dream, too.
Yeah, I have not seen it. I want to watch it. Don't
I might use it later. I'm sorry. Sorry, honey. You might actually listen to this episode, too. I'm in trouble.
As long as you don't use it right now.
What else did he say? Oh, check this out. Rohan Michael Morby says Tuminator.
Tuminator.
It's not a tumor.
Terminator 2, Nuclear Bomb.
That's a good one.
American Beauty, Rose Petal. Vanilla Sky in Times Square.
Mm.
Birdie, When Birdie Flies. Dustin at Super Dustin 83 says Jim Carrey trying to hide memories in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Mm. Which, by the way.
What about Dumb and Dumber then?
When he tries to light his farts in his dreams.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which, you know, has probably inspired you on a certain couple occasions.
Inspired, I think inspired that film.
Maybe
I can see Adam like, well, it was date night.
Yeah. I was trying to impress a girl.
Jim Carrey worked for him. Twitter shout outs. And that's where this one's going to wrap up, I say. Mm-hmm. I say we stick a fork here. And get into next week's episode. This was Submarine 2010, and that reveals brings us to next week's big reveal.
Yeah.
And I think it falls on Max Gumbo Johnson.
It
am I correct?
You are correct.
So, reveal.
Frank, last year. Michael Fassbender, Frank.
Michael Fassbender in a big head.
And a big papier-mâché head with a fan in it.
Well, you had to have a fan in there.
Yeah it gets hot.
Right.
Papier-mâché, dog.
And stinky.
You could put something on like the end of a stick and clean yourself with it, though, if you had to.
I wonder if he did that in the movie.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I find out that you can do a lot of self grooming with a stick. Are we learning
we're
that
done
in this?
We're not going back to the pointed stick.
The pointed stick to all of our regular listeners.
Right.
That's next week. That's Frank. I think it was 2013.
So
yes.
That's 13 or 14.
Yeah.
I saw it last year.
I'm anxious. So see you guys next week.
Yep.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Yeah, whatever. We'll come back here next week, and that's where this one ends. Obviously, go to thecufilmcast.net if you want to leave your review of this film or tell us what you think of anything at all. And there you go. Next week, Frank. And until then, however it is you say, good night.
I gave a girl a ride in the wagon. She crawled in and took control. She was tired, cause her mind was dragging. I said, get some sleep and dream of rock and roll. Cause like a princess she was laying there, moonlight dancing off her hair. She woke up and took me by the hand. She's gonna love me in my Chevy van, and that's alright with me.
It's over.